radio station, its staff, management, or other sponsors.
Rosa Corey.
Here I am.
Hey, Daniel Lott here of the Edge Television Broadcast.
Great.
Hey, well, welcome to the show, Rosa.
Thank you.
Well, now, you seem to be just a bit of a troublemaker. I'll just open it up with that little observation there. You're just not going along with the system and the investigations that you've been doing, particularly concerning Agenda 21. Rosa, before we get going, why don't you tell the people a little bit about your history and how you discovered your first discovery of Agenda 21?
My career is, I have been for the last 30 years, I'm now retired, an expert witness for the California Department of Transportation in land use and land valuation. And in about the year 2000, when I was going, and I'm appraising property mainly for freeway projects. So I would go into the planning departments of cities all around the San Francisco Bay Area, and I found that there was literally nothing that people could do by right on their property. And this was a serious change. Mm-hmm. And as I was investigating that, at the same time, I was also elected to an oversight board for a redevelopment project in my city. And I found that it was fraudulent. So while I was doing this research on both redevelopment and also the planning revolution that I saw, I found that these two things were actually coming together. And as I did more research, I found that what was behind them both was United Nations Agenda 21, Sustainable Development.
Mm. So are you saying that the United Nations was dictating local laws?
The UN plan, it's Agenda 21, is actually a real thing. It was an agreement that was signed on to by 179 nations in 1992. George H.W. Bush signed on for the U.S. And when a country signs an agreement, this is not a treaty. It did not have to be ratified by the Congress. Mm-hmm. So when a country signs an agreement with the United Nations, essentially what they're doing is they're saying that they won't do anything to block the implementation of that agreement. But this one went further than that. In 1993, after Clinton was elected, he created the President's Council on Sustainable Development. And the sole purpose of that council, which was made up of federal agencies, 10 federal agencies, and captains of industry, primarily the energy industry, and environmental groups. The sole purpose of the President's Council on Sustainable Development was to implement United Nations Agenda 21 in the United States. Hmm. And this is what they've been working on for the last 20 years. So this has been, it's a stealth plan. It's a global plan that is implemented locally.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why you see it locally, because mainly it's, you know, actually what Agenda 21 is the action plan to inventory and control all land, all water, all minerals, all plants, all animals, all construction, all means of production, all education, all energy, all information, and all human beings in the world. And this is happening now. It has been happening for the last 20 years, but we're moving more out of the inventory phase into the control phase now. And I think people are really seeing it.
Mm. Who is keeping this information?
What do you mean, who's keeping it?
Okay, if there's an effort to document every living creature and every plant and vegetable in every garden, who's keeping that information?
Yeah, well, the different agencies, of course, if you read Agenda 21, it is a real actual book. You can get it from the United Nations, and it's also on our website, so you can download it for free. When you look at that, a big feature of Agenda 21, which is the agenda for the 21st century, that's why they call it that, is information sharing.
Mm-hmm.
And so information collection and information sharing is a vital part of this plan.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is why there were 10 federal agencies involved, and that included defense, interior, education, EPA, agriculture. You know, we're looking at, you know, all the major federal agencies, all the federal agencies. Now, what they do is they, of course, document and inventory and manage all of this information. Besides that, the fusion centers, which I'm sure your audience is aware of, these are the law enforcement centers that document every aspect of your life, and these are correlated through GIS, global information systems, and GPS, global positioning systems, with every individual. And when they join us with biometrics, which is coming and is in some states already with your driver's license. Literally every aspect of your personal life will be correlated. And that's why they built that huge 1.5 million square foot, or why they're in the process of building the collection center, the data collection center in Utah. That's on an army base. That is to collect information. The one that they have in Maryland is too small. And what they're doing now, and it in fact is taking all of the energy of the city of Baltimore. So what, I don't want to get too deep into that, although it's really fascinating and I do want to talk about it. But basically, you asked me who is collecting information. The short answer is everyone who can is. This plan includes federal agencies. It includes non-governmental organizations, corporations, and, of course, universities. So, and K through 12 schools, all the way up through postgraduate. This information is being documented.
Rosa, you mentioned biometrics. Is any of the plan of biometrics including chipping or stamping human beings?
Well, that is coming. I can advise people for, you know, there's great information out there on the web. They're terrific researchers. We are all, there's a huge group of us who are researchers all around the world who are, you know, individuals taking specific aspects of this plan and doing deep research. And yes, that, you know, biometrics, first of all, is a plan that is being not only, well, let me just say this. One other thing that's really important to know about this plan is it's a globalization plan, clearly. And globalization requires the standardization of all systems. So what that means is bringing everything, you'll see this word harmonization, standardization, uniformity, and efficiency. You'll see these words.
Code words.
Transformation. Okay? So when you see the all, you know, when you see all of this, what you're learning is that collection of data is vital, and tracking. And so this is what biometrics is, and it's being pushed and funded by the federal government and in partnership, public-private partnership, with corporations like IBM. And IBM was, of course, a partner with Hitler during World War II and made it possible for Hitler to track the people that he murdered. That IBM made the computers for Hitler. So this is an extension of tracking. Monitoring, managing, and tracking human beings.
Okay, Rosa, we have a question from our live chat. And there's two places we're getting questions from. We have a live chat going on, and we also have a fast blast, which is an email client. So it'll come from various sources. Some will be on topic. I imagine some won't be. But this particular one is, and it says, is Google linked to the collection of this information?
Yes, absolutely. No question about it. And I'll tell you that one little wrinkle in this that's particularly interesting is a corporation or company called 23andMe. And, of course, you know, this is referring to your chromosomes, right? 23andMe is a company that will actually read your genome, will actually look at your DNA. You spit into a cup, send it off to them. And they send you back some, you know, information on, you know, where your ancestors were, that you're going to be fat or something like that. Well, who is 23andMe? The woman who started that company is named Ann Wojcicki. She is married to Sergey Brin, who is Google. They are Google. Excuse me. And so what that's about, I'm sorry, I have a cold. I've been talking a lot. What that will tell you is that, first of all, your data doesn't get returned to you. You don't get your DNA back. They are collecting and holding your DNA. And people are so stupid that they will send it in to somebody. You don't even own your own genome. With the Genome Project, the Human Genome Project, there are genes that literally have been patented and owned. So this is the reality of your life now.
Have you seen the I think it's in the development stage, something called Google Glasses?
Yeah, I have.
Now, the way that Google Glasses works, it seems to me, they have to have a database that is so large that they have documented and categorized and archived every single item that there is, every building that there is, and probably every person that there is. Are they using facial recognition in some way on Google, too, as well?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Facial recognition software is a vital part of this biometrics plan. And, you know, this is not new. What's new is that the, you know, technology has really gone, you know, I mean, Hitler would have loved to have had the capability that these plans do. So, yes, you all of this is fully operational. It takes a little while. You know, it's slow. It's not as fast as they want it to be yet. But, for instance, they'll be able to read your DNA right off of your hand. So if you want to leave the country and you're going through the airport, you'll be touching, you know, something that will identify you right through your hand, and they'll be able to do that within a matter of seconds.
Yeah, that reminds me of the Minority Report, where Tom Cruise was walking through a mall, and as he passed each store, he was scanned, and the store would automatically adjust their advertising directly to him. Is that the type of technology we're talking about?
Yeah, but, you know, of course, corporations love this, and information sharing is not just limited to government agencies. It's also, of course, corporate, and that is because this is a corporate plan. This is a corporatocracy. This is a totalitarian state that's being erected.
Yeah.
And, you know, I know this, you know, I don't know, I know you have a very wide variety of guests on your show, but what I really want to make very clear is that the plan is crazy. I am not crazy. This is a real plan. It's really going on right now, and it has been in the process of happening for the last 20 years.
Okay.
And go ahead.
All right. Fair enough. This question here, then. Give me three of your best examples of why you say this is real.
Well, that's kind of a silly question, I'm sorry to say. You know, I mean, it's sweet of you to, you know, whoever asked that, to ask it, because, you know, this is a person who really hasn't done any research, and I'm not trying to insult you at all. I'm just saying, I can go on all day. So here we go. I'll start. You know, what it is, the President's Council on Sustainable Development is a real council. It ran from 1993 to 1999. Its sole purpose was to implement Sustainable Development Agenda 21 in the United States, and that is exactly what it did. The point is, government by unelected boards and commissions, and a loss, total loss of representative government. It's an erasure of jurisdictional boundaries. So, what does it look like? It looks like your comprehensive or your general plan or your master plan in your town right now, which is being transferred to a regional plan. So that will look like Vision 2025, Vision 2030. It'll be called, I see you're in Indianapolis, it'll be called One Region, One Vision, Indiana, One Valley, One Vision, Imagine KC, Plan New York, One Bay Area. These are all the same plan. The plan is identical no matter where you are. Even if you're in Hanoi, Vietnam, the Hanoi Center Regional Plan 2030 is the same plan. What else are you going to see? You'll see smart meters in the smart grid. Now, what is that? What, regardless of whether there are issues about health, the smart grid is designed to control every aspect of how you connect to the power and water grid. So what this plan does is it actually, and this is worldwide. So imagine that you're an activist, for instance, and it's the middle of the night and you hear this. Now you turn on your light and there's nothing, because all of your power and your water can be remotely shut off through smart meters. Okay, that's right. One thing. Water well metering. Restrictions on your ability to use your land. Now, if you're out in a rural or a suburban area, this plan is about bringing you out of the rural and suburban areas into the city centers where you can be more easily managed and surveilled. And how does that happen? It happens if you're out in the rural areas. It's going to happen through well monitoring. It'll have, you'll see it, you know, this is subtle, right? It'll be pulverization of your roads, your county roads, to gravel because there's not enough money to pave them. It'll be restrictions on what you can do on your land. It'll be road closures entirely. Removal of private property from state and federal park areas, and that is happening now. Code enforcement that is punitive. Transit-oriented development that is actually funded with your transportation tax dollars and your property tax dollars. Mm-hmm. So this, what this does is it creates a glut of high-density housing in the city centers, and it pulls money from the rural and suburban areas. So you're going to see that as redevelopment. You're going to see form-based codes, scenic byways that regulate and actually restrict everything that you're doing anywhere that's identified as a scenic byway.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can go on, and I really encourage people. This is very serious. This is a far-reaching plan. It's impacting everyone right now.
Yeah. And I saw a question pop up in our live chat. It said, and I think you sort of addressed it, but they want to know, you say this is going on worldwide.
Yeah, it is. It's worldwide. As a matter of fact, I'll be speaking at an international conference in Denmark this fall. And I'm doing an Ireland radio show in a couple days. I just spoke in New Zealand. This is everywhere, okay? Mm-hmm. This plan, it's a global plan. Mm-hmm. And because it sounds good, right, you know, it's very appealing. It sounds great. And everyone, because, you know, we have a huge country, you think that this plan, your cool Plan New York or, you know, Capital Crossroads or whatever they call it, the regional plan in your area, you think you came up with it. Because why? Because they're using a Delphi technique. They're using a RAND Corporation mind control technique that consultants are using in these meetings that you're invited to come and give your point of view on this cool new plan for the center of your town. Well, this is actually everywhere. It's not something that, you know, it's supposedly a grassroots kind of you asked for it plan that you're crafting yourself. That is a lie. This plan is the same plan everywhere in the world. They, every single plan is about regionalizing and moving your representative government, your local government, your city, county, state, and fed, regionalizing.
Yeah. Corey, you said that there is a master plan. Is there? Do you foresee? And you said actually that it's going slower than they anticipated. So do you see any sort of false flag event that will speed this whole process up?
No, it's not really going any slower than they anticipated. What I was talking about was the you know, the potential for being able to do full biometrics and stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, that's okay. Just, you know, the total technological framework is not like happening. It's not completely in place yet.
Okay.
But yes, this is, you know, there's nothing slowing us down except us. Mm-hmm. This is the resistance.
All right. And I'm all for the resistance. Another question. This is from the live chat as well. And then we'll get some of our fast blast questions. They want to know, is Yahoo linked into this?
Every system that is on the internet right now, all of these major systems are part of this because they are collecting data about you, and that data is being funneled through, you know, it's being examined and analyzed at all times. So yes, all of these, you know, these are, whether they're CIA cutouts or whatever they are, regardless, you know. Now, this is what we're designed to do.
Yeah, this would be. Wouldn't this be recognized? Their little hand would be shown. Say, if you put in a search word for horse, and then you go to another website, and bam, you happen to land on a horse feed or horse saddle website. Isn't that kind of giving their plan away? That's sort of the financial end of it. But also, it indicates that your search history is being mined and categorized too, as well. Isn't that a telltale sign right there?
Well, I think, you know, if people are wondering, you know, I mean, if you're doubting what I'm saying here, you know, just take a look, you know, start doing some research on Google, on Oracle, on you know, various international corporations that are running the internet. The internet, of course, started as a DARPA project, These are things that, you know, that all of us, you know, you can't, I don't want to say you can't believe me, because you can believe me, but it's not, that doesn't mean that you shouldn't be doing your own research too. Mm-hmm. And I think what you should do is start in your own town, because that's where you're going to see it.
Yeah.
It's not, you know, it doesn't matter, frankly, if Google or whatever, because the fact is the information, the data that they are mm-hmm. collecting mm-hmm. is getting funneled to the federal government.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, regardless of what the intermediary is doing, they're certainly not protecting you.
Have you seen in your research a trend for specific targeting of groups? Let's just say, throw some out, like maybe Christians or Tea Party or gun right people or libertarians. Have you seen any targeting of groups like that, or is it a general scattergun approach and one size fits all?
Well, I would say that anyone who's talking about liberty and freedom and personal freedom is a threat to this plan. The plan is predicated on communitarianism, and that says that the individual's rights have to be balanced with the rights of the community. And, you know, there are no rights of the community, and the community is completely undefined. There is no such thing. Under our Constitution, we have individual rights. So, for instance, I personally have been targeted, you know, in the press. Certainly the press is owned by five major corporations. And that's why you're not going to see this in the mainstream press, except to malign or shame or embarrass or lie about the plan, you know, and the people who are exposing it. So that's happened to me quite a bit. And what I do is I, on our websites, which are DemocratsAgainstUNAgenda21.com, DemocratsAgainstUNAgenda21.com, I have videos there, and they're, of course, all over YouTube, where I've been interviewed by the Huffington Post, by Reuters, by American Bar Association, and others. And what I do is I video myself being interviewed. I video that phone conversation, and then I post it after the article has been written.
Yeah.
So that people can see what the plan is, mm-hmm. because you can see what the press is doing. Mm-hmm. They're trying to turn you away from the truth.
Mm-hmm. We had a guest on a couple weeks ago named Randy Shannon. Have you ever heard of her?
No.
Mm-hmm. She was running for Senator of Iowa, and as a candidate, she was allowed to sit in a meeting there. And the meeting, she saw Republicans and Democrats colluding to increase the taxes by billions to fund Obamacare for that state. But they were going to roll it out as property tax increase, saying they need to build schools and roads. And when she saw that shenanigan going on, and the people, and that the representatives have no interest in the people at hand, she simply dropped out of the race and began her own quest against the government, so to speak, or just really a quest for truth. It's not really against anything. It's for the truth. And, you know, so, you know, I admire people that get out there and are our point, tip of the spear, such as yourself. And you do take a lot of heat, I would imagine. Let me ask you this question. I asked her and I asked others that are out there in the mainstream and are making some noise and probably rattling those in control. You have no intention of committing suicide, do you?
No, if anything happens to me, you should immediately start getting my information out. You should be doing that anyway.
Mm-hmm.
When I wrote my book, I was a little bit nervous before I got it published. But now that it's out, I don't worry so much about myself. And I do travel with a bodyguard often. But I think that, you know, really the main thing is not me as an individual. The main thing is to get the information yourself.
Mm-hmm,
and the information
right.
is available.
Mm-hmm.
It's and what you need to do is fight locally,
mm-hmm.
because the plan is implemented locally.
Yes.
It's always really fascinating to find out about, you know, whoever's out there at the top of the heap. But the real deal mm-hmm. is down mm-hmm. there in your town.
Right.
And that's where you need to fight.
So you recommend, what type of meeting, a local meeting, would be a disguise for the Agenda 21? Would they say we want to green the county, you know, we want sustainable development? What's the code word to let people know that's one of those type of agendas?
Yeah, you're going to see these plans. First of all, you'll get invited. Here's the deal. The plan is designed to solicit the opinion of the public, because basically, this is what the President's Council on Sustainable Development decided. They said, we want to get this, we want to get Agenda 21 into every city, county, and state in the entire U.S. And we're going to do it as a land use plan, primarily. But the people, when they catch on to this, are not going to be happy. So we want to design something that looks like it came from the people, from the ground up.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you see, so that, and they all hire consultants, and it's pretty much the same handful of consultants all across the United States and the world. And the, what they do is they hold these things called visioning meetings. You might see them called workshops or charrettes, where mm-hmm. they invite the public to give their opinion on that cool new plan for the center of your town. And so you'll go down there and you'll think that you're, you know, actually having some part in crafting that plan. But that plan is designed, fully designed, before you walk in the room. And the plan is the same plan all across the world. So we're on to them now. We are busting them. This is not going easily for them now. There's a big fight. There's a huge grassroots, nonpartisan fight going on all across the world now because people understand mm-hmm. what is happening and they're speaking out.
Yeah. One of those fights on a different front, I understand, in Oregon, there's some cities there that are refusing to get their water fluoridated. Are you aware of that battle?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Fluoridation, you know, is putting, you know, they're putting industrial waste into your water.
Mm-hmm.
And, obviously, you're drinking it instead of, you know, using it to clean out your mouth. That's supposedly the reason why they're doing it, mm-hmm. because children have dental caries.
Mm-hmm.
The reality is that it's, you know, it's like with shampoo or cosmetics or many things. It's a way to get rid of industrial waste
yeah.
and have people pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there are a lot of fights all over the world. Mm-hmm. And all, especially in the United States, fighting fluoridation.
Yeah. I read recently, it says, beware what you put on your body, whether through makeup or antiperspirant or anything else, because it takes about 30 seconds for whatever chemicals are in there to get into your bloodstream.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, your skin is the largest organ in your body.
Yeah. Wow. I think I'll just take some flowers out there in the yard and rub them in my armpits, man, instead
right.
of some axe. You know, I mean, axe smells pretty good, but maybe I'm going to axe my genome and tear it into pieces. And speaking of that, a question from the live chat wants to know, are you aware of Obama wanting to map the human brain? If so, why is he up to that?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, these are globalists who are running your country. Obama's just the flavor of the year. You know, Romney, Clinton, Bush, these guys are all globalists. So, you know, it's not that, you know, Obama doesn't want anything but what he's, you know, he's just in lockstep with everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
What this is about is control, inventory, ultimate inventory
mm-hmm.
and control. So, if you take a look at, we have some great stuff on our website, DemocratsAgainstUNAgenda21.com.
Okay. All right.
A lot of cool stuff there about, for instance, what Google's doing with, you know, when you get into your car and you want to drive it, the car itself will sense whether you are drunk, whether you're excited or ill, mm-hmm. right through the steering wheel.
Wow.
And this is, you know, something that they are going to roll out. So, mm-hmm. Yes, mapping your brain, mapping the human genome, National Defense Authorization Act, which is, you know, extends into thought crime. This is all part of what's going on right now.
Mm. Yeah, and that about thought crime, that something coming up. Of course, there was a movie that was Minority Report right there, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Thought crime.
You know, lot of times they'll use scenario writers, screenwriters,
mm-hmm.
to and futurists.
Mm-hmm.
To determine what direction to take the world in.
Yeah.
And then they play with you. You know, they'll tease you with these films.
Yeah. You know, I've pointed this out before. If as a kind of a science fiction movie buff myself, the early days, it seemed like a lot of the scenarios for the future ended up in some religious tyranny where, you know, even a funny one was with Kurt Russell, Escape from L.A., where I think Cliff Richardson or something, he was a president, but he was a religious person, and they were putting people to death if they committed adultery or sin, basically, or you could go to this island in a prison. And so there are a lot of them. In fact, as I look back, those scenarios are really not true, because it's not religious people that are in control doing this. It's more like, I don't want to say atheists, it seems like that's too easy of a word, but they're soulless sort of beings who see no problem with false flag operations, with death of certain people, maybe even children for that matter. Is that the direction that you're seeing there, or do you see some future where there's, you know, some religion takes over the world and this is part of their agenda?
One thing I would say to that is, whether this is a Gaia thing or, kind of relying on Eastern kind of nihilism, determining that people, should be basically allowing whatever happens to happen because this is, fate or whatever. The philosophy, is whatever they can use to manipulate the people. The mm-hmm. people who are running this probably have, who knows, they're evil people, and they've just mm-hmm. allowed themselves, or there are a lot of bureaucrats, technocrats, mm-hmm. who are just relying on a paycheck. These are the local people who mm-hmm. you're dealing with in your town. Mm-hmm. These are people who refuse to listen to you because there's too much at stake for them. Mm-hmm. So, but I do want to say that this is truly, 1945, they didn't just flip a switch and the Nazis disappeared. Mm-hmm. That is not what happened. I'm sure people know about the rat lines, Operation Paperclip. The reality mm-hmm. is that this is still a Nazi plan, a National Socialist plan. You have Siemens Corporation, IBM, GE, some of the biggest players in World War II are still doing this, and what they're doing now far exceeds whatever they could do back in the 1940s.
Yeah, and they would certainly love the technology to control. They probably couldn't even believe it. I would say, from their point of view, this would be their lifelong dream accomplishment. All right, here's a question for you. It says kind of off topic, but maybe not. It says, Rosa, perchance, do you have a sister or relative of Dr. Carol Rosen, former spokesperson for Dr. Wernher von Braun?
No.
Okay. All right. Now, so we've got Agenda 21 rolling out, and when we attend a meeting, say, is there, and I like the your viewpoint is, and what you're telling people is, do your own research. Don't go into a meeting not knowing what is really going on. But what sort of information would a person bring to those meetings without being perceived as, say, a nutcase resistor, and have them dragged out? What kind of facts, what kind of information should they be prepared to bring to use logic to slow down the process?
Well, this is where, and I'm not like into, selling my book or something. Obviously I am, but this is, this is where you should get my book, because obviously we don't have that much time here. If you really want to see the whole deal laid out, and it's a very short book, great, easy to read, and it tells you what to do to anti-Delphi a meeting and take these meetings down. So the book is called Behind the Green Mask, UN Agenda 21. You can get it on Amazon or Kindle, Nook, and on our website. And this information is something that you need, because when you go to these meetings, you aren't really going to, unless you start going regularly, which you should be doing anyway. I don't care who's dancing with your wife or whatever that thing you're watching. You need to get out there and take back your government. You need to understand what the whole deal is when you go to these visioning meetings or these workshops or charrettes. And you have to do it very carefully, or you will be perceived as disrupting the meeting. And they're bringing police officers into these meetings now.
Yeah.
Because they know that we are beginning to speak out.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a whole, a whole section on how to anti-Delphi a meeting mm-hmm. and what to do and what to look for.
Yeah. And right now I have your website with your book in my background. And, of course, we have links to your various websites there in your bio section. And for those of you just joining the program tonight, we have with us Rosa Corey talking about Democrats Against Agenda 21. And before we go to break at 9 o'clock, which is we have a five-minute break, Rosa, why don't we address this in this hour? Why is it that it's Democrats? Do you feel like maybe perhaps there's some alienation there, or is it that you're just showing that, look, we're not, as far as the other side goes, we're not, we want freedom too, just like you do? I mean, what's the viewpoint there?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked me about that. This, of course, is a worldwide, nonpartisan, grassroots movement that is a resistance movement. But when I started you know, looking into it and finding out about it, the only people who were really talking about it were on the right. People who were on the other end of the political spectrum for me. I happen to be a liberal. And I didn't care. It didn't matter to me. And I go speak all over the United States. I speak everywhere. And I mainly speak to Tea Parties, 9-12 groups, Republicans, conservative groups, libertarians. But I wanted to make sure that those who are imposing this plan understood that this is not just resistance from the conservative side of the house, that there are those of us who are liberal, who didn't drink the Kool-Aid, who aren't falling for it, and who are speaking out. And that is, you know, that's why the website is called Democrats Against UN Agenda 21. And also we have another website, which is postsustainabilityinstitute.org. And that's for people who can't bear to type the word Democrat. They can go there, and that is a, that's a 501c4 nonprofit that we're using right now to collect money for a lawsuit to stop UN Agenda 21 in the Bay Area.
Yeah, I'm going to keep this conversation on this side. So as we finish the hour. But I was watching one of your videos, and I think you were at a tea party, and I think you said, of course, that you're a Democrat and you're a liberal, and also said that you're a lesbian. Is that right?
Yeah, I got outed like out of the box there, which is fine. I'm certainly not in the closet, but, you know, it's not, you know, it doesn't matter. I mean, obviously.
Right. Well, I'm going somewhere nice with this. And here's what I want to say. Going to what's perceived as a rightist organization like a Tea Party, and I don't know if you get go to churches or not. It looked like the Tea Party was in a church, the one I saw. But how are you received?
Well, they love me.
Okay.
I get a standing ovation everywhere I go. And that's because the very first thing out of my mouth, pretty much, is I'm a liberal, I'm a Democrat, I'm a feminist, pro-choice, anti-war, gay rights, and people sit there like they got hit by a brick, and then by the end of my speech, they're on their feet cheering.
Yeah.
And that is because they got the real, true information from somebody, and they want to hear it.
Right, excellent. And so the way I see that is, in this particular case, you appear to be a bridge builder, because I'm sure that it's perceived on one side or the other that, you know, where there are lifestyle questions, you know, people have opinions on that. But you apparently cross a bridge to show that you are not a crazy person and all the other stereotypes that go with it. And then from your side, though, don't you also perceive that maybe the Tea Party themselves, say, as a group, and maybe all the others are libertarians or anyone else that is into this and that is fighting against this, sort of on the other end of the political spectrum, they're receiving you nicely. So don't you see there's almost a you know, from your side saying, well, these people aren't the nutcase George Bush supporting, you know, hick town.
I learned a lot.
Okay, so in that case there's some bridge building going on.
Oh, yeah, and the thing that terrifies those in power is for the left and the right to get together and be purple. And this is really terrifying. And that's one thing that I do see myself as is definitely that bridge. And I really appreciate the opportunity that I've had to do that.
Very interesting. And I'll tell you what, that's well needed, because I feel that there are efforts to keep us into separate camps. And when we're all divided, we're not going to make success. I've got a bit under the weather too, so I can't even say success. But against the other side, against the globalist and those that are rolling out Agenda 21, it's going to take everybody to get on board with this. But I see there's a whole lot more behind Agenda 21 per se. I want to ask, do you think that there's going to be so much resistance as people become aware of its dark, sinister purpose that they will cause some sort of, or roll out some sort of martial law, say we're going to have to take your land and then just move just by force, take people's property and their farms and different things under the guise that we've got to control martial law, then we'll give it back to you later or something like that?
Well, I think that the last step, that's, they don't want to take that green mask off, because then you're going to see something like Greece, you know, or Europe, basically Italy, or, you know, they don't want riots. Revolution is bad for business. They don't want that. And, you know, so if they can take, you know, the Nazis had a philosophy about property, and it was they allowed you to keep your title, but you had no rights. And that's pretty much what this plan looks like. You can keep your title to your property, but you are restricted in what you can do.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll talk, you know, when we come back about what's unsustainable and how that's determined. Mm-hmm. But this plan is not about allowing you to have any freedom or any rights, but it's also about keeping that mask on so that they don't have to roll out martial law.
Mm-hmm. And a couple quick questions before we hit the 9 o'clock hour. Is the SPP, Security and Prosperity Partnership of North America, in any way related to Agenda 21?
Yes, totally. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So is the Trans-Pacific Partnership, of course, which is the one that goes across the Pacific Rim. Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. Because this plan is globalization. It's about erasing jurisdictional boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what globalization is.
Mm-hmm. All right, and we just have a comment from Bob in Arkansas. Says, glad to have you on the show tonight, Carmen.
Well, thanks.
All right. And here's Donna from Michigan. She says, and I think we've addressed this already, but it says, brain mapping is already happening. I'm a victim of that every day. So, and in fact, I'm having a guest on next week is talking about illegal microchip implants. This, Michael F. Bell says that he was against his will was taken and implanted, and I don't know if that's maybe too far out from the topic tonight, but is there anything on the order of implants that you know of?
No.
Okay. All right, and one more question from this from the Fast Blast. This is from Philip and Joe.
That's not to say that that isn't something that they would do and that it's already designed, but as far as I know, I don't know about anyone getting implants.
In the larger sense, you would think this is more like a single thrust or an octopus type thing with many fronts.
You know what? Here's the deal, and we know this through all technology, and that is if it can be done, it will be done. There are no ethical restraints on corporations at this point.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And then final question before we go to the 9 o'clock hour. Philip from Georgia wants to know, this is from the Fast Blast, were the protesting one percenters part of this agenda?
Is that a written question? The thing is that obviously Occupy was being manipulated, but this is a 1% plan. It's certainly a plan of the elites.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, so the Occupy people, while they were, you know, sadly, you know, not well informed about a lot of stuff, they really did have their hand on something there because this is a corporatocracy. It's a corporate plan and it's a manipulation, and they're right about that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, before we go to our 9 o'clock break, Rosa Corey, why don't you once again talk about your website, and then we'll go to our break.
Okay, great. And I'm really hoping that people will do this. Go and check it out, postsustainabilityinstitute.org and Democrats Against UN Agenda 21.com. And you can just put in my name, Rosa Corey, K-O-I-R-E, and all that stuff's going to come up.
Okay. All right. Rosa, just stay on the line, and we'll be back in about 5 minutes. Okay?
Thanks.
All right. All right, everybody. You're listening to The Edge. Television broadcast on our Newsmaker line tonight is, of course, Rosa Corey, and we're talking about Democrats Against UN Agenda 21. I put the UN in there because it seems it's coming from them. If you have a question for tonight's guest, go to the edgeam.com website. Click on the drop-down link that says, go to the left side of the website, click on the Fast Blast link, or join him in the live chat. Many questions are being picked right off of that live chat, and we've talked to the guest tonight about it. This entire broadcast will be rebroadcast in its entirety and uploaded in high-def video immediately after the show. It takes about 10 minutes of processing time. During that time, last week's show will play for approximately 10 minutes. We will also extract the audio only for the downloads, and we'll upload for podcast users. Additionally, you can join us on our YouTube Edge channel, and all of our videos are posted up there in high-def video as well. You can also join and subscribe to those, and it will tell your computer whenever we upload a program, just like a podcast, almost like a video podcast. If we haven't had a guest on the program you'd like to see, we want you to click on the drop-down link that says Suggest a Guest. Remember, 99% of all guests have been suggested by you, our esteemed listening and viewing audience. The Edge broadcast averages about 3.5 million hits per month, has 6,000 other websites linked directly to it, is rated number one according to ranking.com in the category of educational internet broadcast talk show. So we appreciate that. And so we're going to be right back in about 5 minutes. What you're going to see in the next 5 minutes, we all take a break here, is the Edge Broadcast Facebook pictures, those that have uploaded the pictures to our website. And you can join Edge Discussion Group, our Facebook discussion group, by logging on to the link on the left side that says Facebook discussion, join here. And from the, what you'll see now is pictures that people have put up during the week. And if you'd like one of your favorite pictures put up there, just go and join the discussion group, or just join the Facebook in general. Become a friend, and I will see if I can select one of your pictures. Remember, it has to be a little bit interesting in order to make the show at the 9 o'clock hour. We'll be back at about 9:05, so here we go. Information. So arm yourself with information. That's the very first step. And then we shall fight the forces that are arrayed against us. Now back on our newsmaker line, we have with us Rosa Corey. Rosa, welcome back.
Thanks. Glad to be with you. Thank you.
All right. Well, in the first hour, as we left out in the first hour there, we were talking about what we're going to come back with. What is determined to be unsustainable? And what was your conclusion on that? What did you come up with on that?
Well, actually, it's not, you know, what I came up with. It's what was said at the 1992 Rio de Janeiro Earth Summit, the United Nations Earth Summit, in 92, which is where the agenda for the 21st century was rolled out by the World Commission on Environment and Development. And the head of that commission was Maurice Strong. And what he said was unsustainable, and this is considered to be unsustainable, is private vehicles, single-family residences, appliances, mm-hmm. meat eating, air conditioning, and a whole list of many things, including dams, mm-hmm. All kinds of collection changes in river courses, water courses, and tillage is a great one. That is farming. If you release too many, you're releasing too many greenhouse gases, is the story with this. This is the green mask. The story is that human beings are causing climate change, and that because of that, everyone has to basically give up their civil and property rights in order to live in high density mm-hmm. city centers in the center of of major cities and regionalize the world. That's the plan. So, you are unsustainable, basically.
Really? Well, I got news for them. I am sustainable, and I'm going to sustain it right to the resistance, and I'll be part of the leader. You know, my Facebook, I euphemistically renamed myself as Major General. And the reason is because I'm just resisting everything. The New World Order, Agenda 21, whatever else they come rolling out through here in this country. Unless I agree to it and vote on it, then. And the other thing, if something doesn't line up with the Constitution, I don't, a particular law, I don't even consider it a law. What's your view on the Constitution itself? Is it being bypassed to roll out Agenda 21?
Oh, no question about it. The way that you'll see the now these are change agents. You know, this sounds so crazy, but they even refer to themselves as change agents. And this plan, of course, requires the educational system to have transformed so that the plan will be adopted and accepted by people. So Common Core, of course, is Agenda 21. Mastery Learning, Direct Instruction, Lifelong Learning. This is all Agenda 21. So, you're going to be told that, that this plan is a good plan, that it's good for you, that, that this is the way to, that the earth should be. And that's, that's the manipulation. So, obviously, all of these, every element of this plan is crafted and designed in order to manipulate you. This is what it's about. And it's neutralizing the opposition. So this goes completely against our Constitution. Because, we have a representative government. Our individual rights are granted to us by our Creator. They cannot be taken away by a government or granted by a government. But in this, we are looking at communitarian law. And as I said before, that balances the community's rights against the rights of the individual. The individual always loses when their rights are balanced against the larger community. And it could be local community or the global community. So, you have no rights under this plan. And the reference to the Constitution is that it's, you'll hear it talked about as a dusty old plan, the Constitution. This everything about Agenda 21 is a living document. That's what you're going to see. And that means that they can change their rules at any time. And you have nothing to say about it. That's the reality of this plan.
In your experience, can we vote people out that are for this plan, or do they become part of it once they are elected?
Well, the thing is, when you're looking at people who you want to elect to office, you want to ask them what their position is on United Nations Agenda 21 Sustainable Development. And if they blow you off, do not vote for them. We're really in the end game here. I don't want to scare people, and I don't want people to become paralyzed. This, you know, there's no silver bullet here. This is where you look in the mirror and you say, I'm the hero that I've been waiting for. This is it. There's nobody on a white horse going to save you. So you do want to vote out anyone who is not on your side. Anyone who is not declaring with you is not with you. And so you want to identify and expose collaborators with this plan. You want to refuse to continue to pay dues to any groups that are supporting sustainable development or that are nonprofits that are have advocacy wings for smart growth. What you want to do if you're volunteering or you are or you're giving money to some group, you want to identify who that group is and see if you're actually working against yourself. So you want to put the name of that group into your search browser with sustainable development or with ICLEI, I-C-L-E-I, which is the International Council on Local Environmental Initiatives, and I can talk about that, or with Agenda 21, you know, just put them all in there, see what comes up. If you're giving money to the Lung Association, for instance, they have an advocacy wing that advocates for smart growth, which is the preferred development style of United Nations Agenda 21, and it's also the ideology.
And speaking of ideology, is this agenda being put into the public schools? And if so, what kind of curriculum do you see that's propagating this?
Yeah, Common Core is Agenda 21. And you'll see this called transformative learning or transformational learning. It'll be referred to as mastery learning or direct instruction, lifelong learning. It's in the school right now. And the thought is that nothing comes between your child and the computer, and so or you as an adult. I mean, this is being done to it's pre-kindergarten all the way to postgraduate school. There's no part of the school that is not imbued with United Nations Agenda 21 principles, and that's what standardization. Think about it. This is how they do standardization of systems, is by having a federal top-down program like Common Core in the schools.
Why do they call that Common Core?
Well, it's like, you know, the core curriculum. And common, I guess, because it's everywhere, and that's the way it's going to be. It's in, you know, every single state. I think there are a couple of states that haven't adopted it yet, and Texas calls it something else. They call it C-Scope. But it is Agenda 21 in the schools. And people are being indoctrinated daily. One thing that this plan does is it basically, with something called transformative learning, it tells people from childhood all the way into early adulthood that they have to do self-examination on their belief systems and be ready to, it's essentially emotional terrorism, it's shock treatment, basically, social shock treatment, to shake you loose from your belief system and then realign you with sustainable development principles.
So basically what we've grown up to believe, our founding principles and that type of thing, have to be undermined. That brings me to recent comments by MSNBC, I don't know if she's analyst or co-host or what she is, but her name is Melissa Perry. And she said that your kids are not yours, and we need to get away from this old idea that you own your children, because for the proper allocation of assets, the government needs to take them. Did you hear those comments?
Yeah. I don't know how she must need a bodyguard to walk down the street now. You know, that's just, she tripped up a little bit and said it out loud. That, you know, that is the reality. That's the philosophy. And let me tell you about something called asset-based community development. Asset-based. Mm-hmm. And you are the asset. This is where every individual is considered, you know, remember when they changed personnel from personnel to human resources?
Mm-hmm.
You know, every individual is an asset. You are either, you know, doing something for the community or you're not.
Mm-hmm.
And so asset-based community development came out of the University of Chicago, Northwestern University, and Michelle Obama is actually on the faculty of mm-hmm. the Asset-Based Community Development Institute, which mm-hmm. identifies individuals as either being volunteers or not, and it pressures you with something called mandatory volunteering, which, think about that for a minute, mandatory volunteering, mm-hmm. that is slavery, involuntary servitude, and you literally will not be able to get the things that you need in your town unless you do your mandatory volunteering. This is the plan.
Mm-hmm. I see. Well, you know, when you said asset, it reminded me of a scene in the movie Predator with Arnold Schwarzenegger, where one of the military guys was saying to the other, to the Schwarzenegger character, said, you are just an asset, an expendable asset. And he replied, I'm not an asset, and I don't do this kind of work. And I would say to the people here that we are not assets, that we are free human beings, and we don't agree to UN Agenda 21. We'll be a part of it, and I think we'll do our part to be part of the resistance. Here's a question for you from Jeremy in Arizona. He wants to know, this is from the Fast Blast, will suburban property decline in value to force people to move to the inner city?
Yes, and the way that is happening now is now you said you're in Arizona, you have a regional plan there. There are regional plans all over the United States, and what you need to do is put your town name in with regional plan.
Mm-hmm.
You can throw a word in like future or vision, and it'll pop up. You're going to see it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what this does, the design, the thing is being driven by the federal government down into the local municipalities, and they use money. They use grants. So, Partnership for Sustainable Communities is EPA, HUD, and DOT. And they use sustainable community strategy grants to local communities. And they give these to the most urbanized areas.
Mm-hmm.
So what they're doing is they will starve the suburbs so that you can't maintain your infrastructure. And then, of course, the mm-hmm. collapse in our economy has helped greatly to collapse the tax base for your local cities, smaller cities and towns. So there's not enough money to maintain the infrastructure. Plus, with redevelopment, a huge portion of your property taxes are going to pay bond brokers. So you'll see more and more bankruptcy in small towns, and you will see people moving out of the suburbs into the city centers, because transportation is another one. You will be charged transportation taxes, basically vehicle miles travel taxes. If you have to drive into town and you live in the suburbs, you will be penalized,
mm-hmm.
and that will have an impact on the suburban values, definitely.
Mm-hmm. Here's a question from New Mexico, from Betty, wants to know, elected officials who support Agenda 21 are in violation of their oaths of office and are traitors to their country and their constituents. Have there been any cases of charges of treason brought against them?
No, and I think that that's a great idea. We, of course, talk about it quite a bit, you know, out there in the world. There's something called misprision of treason, which it's a misdemeanor. So what you can do is you can notify your local officials that when we win, we will remember and we will come back and file charges of misprision of treason. But I think what's very important to let people know, you know, they hear treason and they kind of blow you off. They think you're a nut.
Mm-hmm.
But you're not a nut. There is, you know, I don't know where treason just sort of disappeared here,
mm-hmm.
but and so did tar and feathering, which, you know, mm-hmm. might not be such a bad idea for these
mm-hmm.
guys.
Mm-hmm.
But you want to occupy your government offices, your government meetings. You go down to your city council and let them know.
Mm-hmm.
This is what we're doing all across the nation. And we do have videos of us doing it all mm-hmm. over the country, and a lot of them are on our website.
Mm-hmm. And that website is?
Democrats Against UNAgenda21.com, and also postsustainabilityinstitute.org. And you can always find our sites by just putting my name in your search browser, and that's Rosa, and my last name is K O I F-R-E.
Mm-hmm. All righty, and here's a question for you. Is Agenda 21 tied to global depopulation through chemtrails, GMO foods, fluoridated water, vaccines, or any other means to kill us off?
Mm-hmm. Well, this is, of course, ripe with speculation. What's the ultimate goal of the plan? Eugenics is part of the plan. This is, a continuation of the Nazi philosophy that, some people have more rights than others.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of don't go there because I it's not necessary. There are others who do it. I go with land use plans, with restrictions on your ability to uh-huh. live where you want to live and to do what you want to do with your property, as well as National Defense Authorization mm-hmm. Act, restrictions on your personal freedom.
Mm-hmm.
That is what I talk about. I don't know what they're spraying. I have seen G. Edward Griffin's film, What in the World Are They Spraying and Why Are They Spraying?
Mm-hmm.
I fully can assume that, but I don't personally have proof.
Hmm. All right, here's a question from Bob. He wants to know, have you ever heard of NESARA, N-E-S-A-R-A? It is the acronym for the proposed National Economic Security and Recovery Act.
No, okay. I haven't.
Okay. And then let's go to Janet from Indiana. Do you think that Obamacare is dangerous?
Well, I think that, the problem with Obamacare, just one of the many, is, of course, that it will be basically forcing you to buy something. And this is a corporate plan. Agenda 21 is a corporate plan. It benefits huge corporations. And I'm talking about mega corporations. And ultimately, what do corporations want? When they're looking for standardization of systems, they're looking for removal of all boundaries to movement of goods. They're looking for, cheap labor and open markets. And so this is one of the things that they want, is to bring up the idea is that this plan, Agenda 21, is going to make the poor wealthier. It's mm-hmm. basically going mm-hmm. to bring down the wealthy and bring up the poor. And what does that do? It basically it homogenizes the system so that all markets can afford whatever it is that the huge corporations are selling. And I do want to say that in the United States, our poorest person living on the street is wealthier than most people who are poor in the rest of the world.
Yeah.
So when we talk about bringing down our nation, we're talking about a long way to fall.
Yeah.
So with Obamacare, restrictions on your, on your choice, on your ability to what you're going to do if you're a person who cannot afford that, if you're seeing your health care is going to go up in cost and your ability to obtain health care is going to be reduced.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a real problem.
Mm-hmm. I know that on Saturdays, like for instance today, I go downtown to the inner city of Indianapolis and help feed the homeless. And I noticed that a lot of them got cell phones. I'm thinking, kind of on regards to what you were just saying, the poorest people in this country seem to be rich by world standards. But back to the Obamacare, there are 2,700 pages of societal controls in there. And some say that there is like a death panel in there when they start allocating resources, which will be scarce. Do you see the existence or are you aware of the existence or the creation of death panels?
I haven't read Obamacare, the whole thing, and I will say that artificial scarcity is an essential part of Agenda 21.
Mm-hmm.
It's dependent on artificial scarcity. So when you are restricted in your energy usage and your water usage, when you are having to conserve, for instance, mm-hmm. when you're in Canada, which has 0.5% of the world's population and 20% of the world's fresh water, and they are required to conserve water.
Mm, that's ridiculous.
These are plans that create artificial scarcity. So if you take these to the ultimate conclusion, which one can assume that will happen because it is possible,
mm-hmm.
then you can see that some people would receive care and others not, mm-hmm. that they might determine that you're at a certain age and it's simply not worth spending the money on you or whatever. Mm-hmm. But I am, I'm not saying that I've read that in the plan. I haven't mm-hmm. seen it.
Do you find yourself at odds? Obviously, Democrats against Agenda 21 is a political, the first part is a political stance, I suppose, or belief system. But don't you find that you're in maybe opposition or not in agreement with a lot of the tenets of the Democratic Party?
Yeah, I call myself an 1846 Democrat. It's been a real experience for me to be exposing the Democratic Party as I have. I have exposed a Democratic legislator who lost his position because of my exposing his conflict of interest, serious conflict of interest. Mm-hmm. I'm not a favorite of the Democratic Party. There are Democratic Central Committees. There's one in Virginia that said that I was not really a Democrat, that I was a fake, and that I was lying to people, and I threatened to sue them. They quickly pulled that. But, it's not very pleasant to not, to be rejected by people that you thought you were, completely in tune with. And I, of course, I'm not a fake. I mean, I've been a Democrat since 1974, a liberal. I was a member of MoveOn.org, had, meetings in my home. I've been politically active since I was 13 years old. But I believe in following the truth. I have no allegiance to anything that is not true. And this is a manipulation of the Democrats. And that's one reason why I retain my Democratic affiliation, because I think that the truth needs to be spoken by a Democrat to other Democrats.
Mm-hmm. And also you... I would say that from the other side, you're bringing a perspective of what they would determine as, or consider sanity, because this ongoing battle between the Republicans and Democrats seems kind of on the lines of the Israelis and Gaza Strip or Palestinians, just back and forth forever and ever and ever, and nothing ever gets solved, and I don't know if this goes on to eternity or not. I don't know why it has to be that way.
I know why it has to be that way.
Why is it, Rosa?
Well, let me tell you.
Okay.
I think it has to be that way, because if we ever got together and took instead of fighting each other over gay marriage or whatever the thing is of the week, instead of that, if we actually joined together shoulder to shoulder and pointed at our government, that whole little game would be up in a minute. We need to work together. And I am a gay woman married to my partner, and I'll tell you what, that's important to me because it's for tax reasons and all those other reasons. But gay people are being manipulated. People of color are being manipulated. Women are being manipulated. Youth are being manipulated. Everyone is being manipulated under this plan. They're being used to fight each other and to, those borders, the border issues. Why do they do? They leave the border open so that, in order to create pressure on the country. Mm-hmm. And this is a way to manipulate populations. So... Mm-hmm. All of this is a manipulation. We need to get beyond it.
Right on. All right, here's a question for you. Is the government trying to tax our bank accounts like Cyprus and go after our pensions or retirement accounts?
I don't know.
It does seem like there are some rumblings out there where they're trying to say they're going to need those funds. And I know the Obama, there's been some rumblings I saw on Yahoo News saying that they want to cap the amount that you can save for your retirement. So that kind of goes along with the homogenization, you say, or the leveling out of the playing field. But aren't there, and every time socialism is attempted, isn't it just those that don't produce just take from the people that do, and in the end, nobody's ahead and everything's worse?
Well, the reality of a socialist system, if you're going to look at, any part of, the former Union of Soviet Socialist Republics, is that you don't get to not work. And, you look at these utopian philosophies. The utopian philosophy, the vision of the glorious future is part of every totalitarian plan, including this one. This plan is a totalitarian plan, and it includes the vision of the glorious future. Oh, how cool it will be. We are all in downtown smart growth units, riding our bicycles, and there goes the high-speed train. Mm-hmm. And everything is, so the plan really is about artificial scarcity and restriction. And it is not about, you know, everyone having a happy, you know, life with Bambi in the forest.
Right.
So, you know, that, and that's the lie of socialism as well. All of that was a lie. It was really about the elites being able to, take the, take all the fruits of everyone's labor and leave them with nothing.
Mm-hmm. Alrighty. And, talking about scarcity, there's been a number of, financial news reports concerning scarcity at Walmart. They're saying that the shelves, some of the shelves are becoming empty in that. Of course, now some of that they say is because that they're trying to, they've gotten rid of so many employees. But they're the country, I think they're the country's largest employee with 2.2 million, but they've gotten rid of 180,000. So I don't know if that scarcity on those shelves that are being reported around the nation is because of lack of employee, you know, trying to make more money by not paying people, or is it, in fact, what you're saying is actual goods and services that are being in a scarce category?
Well, you know, Walmart is a partner in this plan. Walmart, the Walton Foundation, is a partner in this plan. And we have, if you go to our website, Post Sustainability Institute, and I think the other one has it too, Democrats Against UN Agenda 21, and look at who funds Agenda 21. You're going to see a lot of, you know, you're going to see a lot of names there. You're going to see a lot of groups there, foundations, and the Walton Foundation is one of them. And one, you know, the plan, that the design of the Walton family to you know, provide goods more cheaply than anyone else,
right,
and you know, and put out you know, make superstores so that all the smaller businesses go out of business. And then what this plan is about is creating dependency on government. And it is a corporate plan, so basically your government is going to be owned by corporations, as it is really right now. So this is, you know, about control. Now, whether they, you know, are not fully stocking their shelves and creating, you know, stress on the population, I don't know. I do know that there are issues with ammunition. And, you know, the question is, are people just, you know, buying so much ammunition that it isn't there? But I think they are actually, you know, it's being obviously stockpiled, as we know, by the Department of Homeland Security.
Yeah.
And not made available to the people.
Right, and that's definitely where I want to go with the next question regarding the Department of Homeland Security. Why are they buying all those hollow point bullets and those armored tank vehicles?
Mm-hmm. Well, as far as I know, you know, one of these state senators, or actually a U.S. congressman here in California, I'm in California, he's a North State Senator Doug LaMalfa, Republican from the northern part of the state, wrote a letter to the Department of Homeland Security and said, "Hey, you guys, what's this all about? What are you doing? And what do you, you know, what, how much do you have altogether?" Mm-hmm. Well, as far as I know, they have not responded to him. So we don't know the real answer. We can only speculate.
Hmm. Okay. Well, I don't mind veering into speculation land.
Yeah, I kind of try not to speculate. Because I want people to be very clear.
How about civil,
anything I'm talking about.
How about preparing for civil unrest?
Yeah, well, you know, the truth is their weapons are always going to be bigger than ours. So, you know, I don't care if you've got a bazooka in your back pocket, honey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The, you know, we're talking about bunker busters and all kinds of stuff that you just don't have. So the reality is, I mean, if you read Alexander Solzhenitsyn, the Gulag Archipelago, when he was talking about under Stalin, you know, he said if we had only, you know, just known how serious this was, then when they came to arrest us in the middle of the night, we would have, you know, hit them over the head with an axe.
Yeah.
You know, rather than letting them just, you know, people get paralyzed. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, I'm not talking about, fighting back violently, because your government is always going to have bigger weapons. So the thing is, right now we are in a moment. We can stop this, but we have to get together and do it. This is it now. No kidding around. We're the, you know, most of you, if you go look in the mirror, if you're over 50 years old, you are the resistance, and you are part of a huge movement that is about 50 and up. Mm-hmm. And, you know, your kids are already indoctrinated with this. You've got to do this before you get off this planet.
Mm-hmm.
While you're vertical, you better take this on. You are the resistance.
All right. Encouraging words there. You know, it seems to me it's incumbent on every generation to keep freedom free, and our generation seems to be one of the toughest challenges, because I think in the earlier days, let's just talking about Nazi Germany, or maybe even the the war with England, you know, the in 1776, those were clear-cut enemies with clear-cut goals. But now as things are so muddied and so controlled and so manipulated, you don't know who's telling the truth or you know, and of course now they're using the, you know, chemicals on us and brainwave technology implants and every other kind of thing. So it seems to me our generation has got a little tougher. But on the other hand, we have access to a world of information at our fingertips, which our previous generations didn't have. So it seems to me on that front, we should be able to empower ourselves quickly and to come together. I mean, you know, there's something, a phenomenon called flash mobs where people get together either through a tweet, or a lot of different names there, or you know, maybe a Facebook post or whatever. So there are ways for people to get together quickly and assemble themselves, where in the old days they couldn't do such a thing. So perhaps we can fight technology with technology.
Yeah, and I completely agree with that. You know, what are those, you know, the QR things or whatever, you know, putting those little stickers up around. And mm-hmm. we've got access to information. I mean, you can, you know, anyone can have a website and information gets out quickly. The thing is to utilize it. I'd like to see flash mobs going into city council meetings. You know, you call up everybody in the area, you know, you let them know, hey, we're going to all go to, you know, this little town, and we're going to let them know that we, you know, we do not want a regional plan here. We are not going to accept that federal grant. We're going to refuse it. Mm-hmm. You know, let people know that we have to, you know, we have to take this on. And I will say that the youth, I speak all over the United States, and I am going to Europe later this year to speak. And there are a lot more young people now at my speeches than there have been in the past. And I am seeing more and more young people who recognize that this is a manipulation, that they've been lied to the entire time that they've been in school, mm-hmm. and that and they are willing to take this up. They are mm-hmm. speaking out, especially, yeah. I think the Ron Paul movement, the libertarian movement, really did a lot to activate mm-hmm. the youth.
Yeah.
And I'm very glad about that. Mm-hmm. And these are the people that we want to, you know, continue to connect, continue to make this as a cross-generational, mm-hmm. nonpartisan, mm-hmm. non-ethnic, completely open resistance.
Mm-hmm. And I would agree with that. My my three young men, twins, 21, and another son, it's 22, all three are Ron Paul supporters, and I'm quite glad about that. You know, during the election cycle, they were actually paying attention. And it's amazing because Ron Paul himself is not sort of a fire and brimstone person, but he just speaks the truth, and you know, and they perceive from their part of the world that he was blacklisted and manipulated in different debates and left out of different things, not recognized in different things. So, and then also that caused them to look into the Federal Reserve and different things he was talking about. So there are outlets out there that people can get this information you're talking about. And I've always told them that, you know what, he who has the information wins the argument. So I've always told them, whenever you go into a situation, you're going to talk about a subject, you better do your homework, lest thou sound like an idiot, you know. Mm-hmm. And that probably goes true when you talk about these meetings, that people need to have their information, because not only will you be talking to the people that are rolling it out in at the front of the building, if you bring some serious facts to the table, you may turn some minds that are in the audience as well.
Oh, yeah, that's what it's all about, really. When you go down to your city council or when you're at these meetings and you're speaking, you're not going to be convincing those people who are sitting up there, you know, facing you at the table. What you're doing is you are talking to the people who are in the crowd, your supposed, you know, peers, the people who are your fellow citizens. And mm-hmm. so the best thing is for you to educate yourself and know what you're talking about, because mm-hmm. if you... You know, the thing is, you're going to get shamed and maligned and mocked for talking about United Nations Agenda 21 Sustainable mm-hmm. Development.
Right.
So you need to know, because you're going to be told that this is a voluntary plan. It's a dusty old 20-year-old plan. Has no impact on you there in Indianapolis or New York City or Oregon or wherever you are. But that is a lie. And so you have to know about the President's Council of Sustainable Development, about how that came down into mm-hmm. your local community. And mm-hmm. we have on our website, on Democrats Against UN Agenda21.com, mm-hmm. we have a 3-minute speech for you. So when you're going to your council meeting and you want to tell them what's up, you can just read that. And it's mm-hmm. good for you. We also have flyers. Mm-hmm. And this is the big thing that people are doing now. Someone just put 70,000 of these out on the East Coast the mm-hmm. other day. our flyers, our front and back flyer, you can make 100 of them for like $6 or $7. And one side says, why is everyone talking about United Nations Agenda 21? And the other one, the other side says, what's wrong with sustainable development? These are great. They're for free. You can print them out. They're on our websites. Print them out. Take them to your printer. And go up and put them on porches. Get 100 of them out in an hour if you live in a city. And get this information out. People don't have it. It's better to get the information to people rather than to stand there and try and get somebody to, you know, hear you and you're talking to one person, you're arguing. Get them that flyer and, you know, go and put it out there in the morning when, put them on their porches and people, each person picks that up and reads it and thinks about it. That's what you want. You want an informed populace.
And here's a question for you. It says, they can't destroy an idea. Why don't we start a movement for the people, by the people? The number on focus would be, if it was not good for humanity, then we wouldn't move forward. Now, I've had my own ideas on that. And when it comes to government regulations, I don't understand. If I was in charge, I'd put it this way. Whatever bill was introduced, I would have a committee decide or try to find out, does it add jobs to society or does it take away? Does it restrict progress? Does it, you know, restrict jobs? Does it restrict business? And if you applied that to everything that's rolled out in government, I think most of the laws would just simply go away because most of them are anti-business and anti-people and anti-humanity for that matter. So what do you think about an idea? I mean, in going back to my first, in the first hour when I said, looking at the scientists, the movies, the futures movies in the 60s, 70s, 80s, as they try to look into the future, you know, always come to a, it always comes to a totalitarian state in most all those movies. But what usually destroys them is an idea.
This is all about ideology. This is neo-feudalism. That's what this is. Every totalitarian state has an ideology, and that is that the individual is selfish and has to sacrifice for the greater good of the whole. Now, there's no need to make some new kind of group. We've got a constitution. That's what our nation is founded on. And if you want to really do something, I'm totally serious here. You know, this is how I'm spending my life. And the reason that I'm on your show and you asked me on your show is so that I can talk to the people who are listening. And you know what? I just told you what to do. Get out there and make those flyers and go and occupy your government meetings. This is what you need to do. Don't, you know, if it's great to meet other people, connect with them and bring them with you. Each person is an individual. You want to take some action, and the action is educating people so that they understand that it's going on. Because people already know something is wrong, but they don't know what it is. And when you tell them that Common Core and National Defense Authorization Act and that regional plan and restrictions on your ability to use your land and transportation dollars being poured down the drain of high-speed rail, all of this is Agenda 21. People need to understand that it's related, connected, and it is worldwide. And that's what it takes. Help us get this information out.
Rosa, do you remember when Obama first got elected, he was putting a group of people in place around him, and one of those was a person named Van Jones. Was he? Are you familiar with him, and was he the quintessential Agenda 21 rollout committee chief?
Well, they're all the committee chief, you know, anyone who's in EPA, DOT, agriculture. But Van Jones, of course, is a socialist, no question about it. He's, you know, and his Pachamama group now is out there. He hasn't gone away, of course. He's very outspoken, goes around the United States and, lectures to people. And his group is about, the green jobs and green business. And really what this is about is giving you the business. It is not about developing, actual jobs. It's about manipulation and social engineering. So I have also on the Democrats' website some information about Van Jones and a thing that his American Dream Plan, which was a manipulation. This is a Delphi. It was a Delphi thing. And it's about manipulating people who are on the left. And everyone, people resonate with it. It sounds good to them. And so they want to go for it. You need to look carefully at these things. And obviously Van Jones is at the forefront of the Agenda 21 movement.
Yeah, he's still out there. He may not be a czar, but he seems to me he's still out there causing trouble and just a general ruckusing. Now, we were talking about octopi and the different tentacles. Somebody suggested, listen to this logic, that in the UK, Burger King has been caught grinding up horse meat in their food over there. And then I think just here in the United States, the FDA or somebody or some organization now starting to say the horse meat's good, go ahead and start grinding it up and serve it to people. Now, the horse, by and large, is a... an animal that has been with humans for so long that they've developed a connection, sort of like dogs and perhaps cats too as well. These are animals that we kind of relate to and we keep. And so somebody suggested that the whole theory there is to, and this goes back to what you said in the first hour, that an undermining of your traditions and your viewpoints and the things that bring comfort all have to be sort of done away. And so they were saying, actually, that the horse meat is part of that, to stop thinking that there's a social animal out there that you need to endear, that no animal is safe, therefore no, that can be done anything with, and therefore and extrapolated then onto any human then becomes just part of the process, going all the way back to Melissa Perry saying your kids are not our kids. So, and that goes to what you said again, that everything is being regurgitized and analyzed and categorized, and every underpinning of society is being put, being taken away, and something else is being put in its place. How do you like that connection?
Yeah, I agree that, this is, when you say the term transformation, it means destruction. And transformation of your ethics, of your philosophy, your underpinnings of your political philosophy for your world, all of this, this is about destroying what your traditions are, what you're used to, what you accept, what you believe, and reprogramming you to accept things that you would have, thought were completely impossible and completely unacceptable. Mm-hmm. And that is the Hegelian dialectic. This is what the Nazi philosophy was, and this is what this plan is predicated on, that. And so, that basically means you have a crisis, and then you have sort of the antithesis to it, and somewhere in the middle is where you land on your belief system. And that is something you never would have accepted, except that you had this crisis. Mm-hmm. So, yes, I agree. Anything that destroys what you have previously accepted as real. And also, one other thing I want to say that's important is talking about what's real. Objective reality is something that we can accept. We understand. You're sitting in a chair right now. That chair exists, and you exist, and we exist, and this is real. But what this plan, Agenda 21, is really about destroying your concept of objective reality. So if you're a child in school, for instance, you are being taught something called, out of a book called Reinventing Mathematics. And you'll see that term. That's part of Agenda 21 jargon, reinventing. And what that means is that what you had expected as, 2 plus 5 equals 7. Mm-hmm. Now, instead of being objective reality, it's, whatever Johnny wants it to be, because Johnny has value as a human being, and his personal feelings matter. So what that does is it destroys certainty, and it replaces it with rigidity. And that's what this plan does. And that is a real thing. Reinventing Mathematics is a third grade book that is being taught in the schools, and it's not about teaching people how to do math. It's about changing their belief system, changing their behavior, and actually socially engineering them to accept a reality that can change at any time.
That kind of reminds me of something they talk about in the 70s, something called situational ethics. Is that along those lines?
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yes, that's right. Situational ethics. Nothing is absolutely right or wrong. Mm-hmm. And this is how you can do something like kill Jews or gypsies or gay people, because this is situational ethics. And, let me just say, I had an occasion to speak with some weapons designers. I gave a speech in Southern California, and I was at a once somewhere, and there were these weapons designers who were working for Martine Murrieta or somebody, and I said, is there any ethical restriction on what you can do? And they said, no, is somebody else makes those determinations. We just make the work, you know, the heaviest, most intense weapons we can create. Loss of ethics. There is no ethic. There are no ethics. This is what's happened to us.
And really, that kind of goes along with some of the political utterings, and that is, of course, you said killed gay people, but I remember in the beginning, Obama was saying that the people that cling to their guns and religions also need to be moved out of the way. So, you know, there does seem to be on all fronts, all groups, and I guess it's important for them to put people into groups, and then therefore they can demonize each group toward the other. And while we're all falling for that trap, we're all in a trap. And, you know, that reminds me, you mentioned the Jews in the first hour, and the Nazis. It seemed to me that there were a lot of Jews that thought they would not face the same end as the rest of them, and they helped the Nazis to round them up and to befriend them so they could control them, and they were assigned as leaders and different things. But in the end, they were shot and killed just as much as the others. And so, you know, and one more comment on that, and this goes to the earlier comment from somebody in the live chat, said, well, you know, you can't kill an idea. Why don't the people, free people, come up with something? Because we're still free at this point, as far as I can tell, albeit we may be manipulated some way, but the free thinkers are on this program tonight watching, so, you know, and all the programs and meetings you go to, there's a whole bunch of people like us out there that are part of the resistance, may not have signed up, but mentally we are. But the Jews vastly outnumbered the Nazis, and while they didn't have guns, while they fell for the gun registration, because Berlin rolled out laws saying, you know, we want to register everybody's guns so we can be the first city in the world with no violence in that. Of course, they registered them and they took the guns. But the number wise, they could have stormed. They could have fought back, because the Nazis could only fire so many bullets, and they could have, you know, they could have resisted, but they didn't.
Well, actually, that's not true. you know, there was resistance, but the first person out of the rail car who raised their hand up, or raised their voice up and said, "This is wrong," was shot immediately in front of everyone. And, you know, when you do that, I mean, it's easy to say that there was no resistance, but there was resistance. People were killed. Mm-hmm. They were taken out, you know, in a group of three people, one would be a spy. When Hitler went into Austria, that was the first country he invaded. They arrested about 30,000 people in a single day. How did they know who to arrest? Mm-hmm. They had already infiltrated their groups. Mm-hmm. There were, of course, people who collaborated out of fear, out of terror, whatever it was. And that's something that you need to know, is that you're not going to hide from this. There is no Switzerland in this fight. Mm-hmm. And everyone everyone is a Jew in this fight.
I read in the live chat, Rosa, Corey, somebody said that they're drawing the line in the sand with this Agenda 21, and that's the first time I've heard somebody actually use that terminology. But I've heard that also used with the gun debate that's going on now. People are saying that is the line in the sand for them. I don't know if gun registration and confiscation go hand in hand with Agenda 21, or slowing it down, but there's obviously two lines in the sand there, and maybe we should be utilize both of them or make our stand on either of them. But what's your view on gun control? Should people, if the government says the weapon you have in your closet now is illegal, would you be the sort to say, well, I want to, well, it may be illegal and I don't like it, but it is the law. I'm going to go ahead and turn it in. What would you do?
Well, you know, first of all, I support the Constitution, the Second Amendment. I think it's important. And as a child, I grew up with my own guns. My father had been a police officer. And of course, my family is liberal, Democrat. You know, and that doesn't mean we didn't have our own weapons. I had my own weapons when I was 8. Mm-hmm. Still do. And so I think it's really important to recognize that we have a Constitution that allows and protects our individual rights. And everything, you know, I'll just talk about laws. Everything that Nazis did was legal. They passed laws, and they did not violate their own laws. And this is why we need to stop this now. Now, Agenda 21, gun control is part of Agenda 21. It's restriction on your personal freedom and restriction on the way that you live and violation of the Constitution. It's part of Agenda 21. It's an inventory and control plan to restrict your ability to live. So I'm not advising anyone to do anything illegal. What I am saying is that now it is legal for us to have our weapons. And this is our Constitution. and we need to uphold it. And we need to remove anyone from office who is going to block the upholding of our Constitution.
Mm-hmm. Alrighty, and a couple of final questions here. This is from Tom Jones in the UK. Do you think that having one world planet would eradicate poverty and make a world more equal place to live without borders?
Oh, yeah. Isn't that a fabulous idea? Well, here, you know what?
If you're in control, it's wonderful.
Yeah, if I was in control, you know, it's like Bush Jr. said, you know, the world would be a great place if there was a dictator. It'd be a lot easier if I was the dictator. Mm-hmm. The thing is that here's an example for you of how nice everything can be. You're totally green here. I'm going to give you your food, your housing, your clothing, all your transportation, and everything you need. And, you know, it's very green, and the only problem is you're in jail. Mm. So, no, one world government, you know what? I like the Constitution of the United States of America, and I want to protect that. Mm. That's why I live in the U.S. And in the EU, you know, I actually spoke at an international conference. One of the other speakers was President Václav Klaus of the Czech Republic. He said he did not want to join the EU when they finally got away from the Soviet Union, and he was, you know, forced by his by his cabinet to join the EU. Mm-hmm. He said now they're under the thumb of Brussels. We do not want one world government.
Mm. Been there, done that. It doesn't work out so well. Rosa Corey, we're at the end of the broadcast. I've got your website in our background, Democrats Against UN Agenda 21. One more time, give them that web address and what they can find on your site.
Well, you're going to find everything that you want on that site. There's tons of information. Get those flyers and make them. Also, get my book, Behind the Green Mask, UN Agenda 21. And go to the websites, postsustainabilityinstitute.org and Democrats Against UN Agenda 21.com.
Mm-hmm. And if somebody's out there saying we want to go green, run the other way, sounds like to me. Rosa Corey, thank you so much for coming on the Edge television broadcast. Can we have you on again sometime?
Love to. Thank you.
All right. Stay safe out there, and we'll talk again.
Thanks.
All right. Bye. All right, everybody, that was Rosa Corey talking about Democrats Against UN Agenda 21. If you missed any of this exciting broadcast, it will begin to replay in our main television player here in just a few, about 10, 15 minutes. The audio extract will be uploaded as well, podcast form, and you can also go to our YouTube channel where the video will be posted as well. You can become a subscriber there as well, and also join them on the Edge Television Broadcast Discussion Facebook group. Natalina is running that and doing a great job there. So many people have logged into that and become part of that. And we continue the thoughts and the trade information about what's going on in this world. As our guest tonight said, Rosa said so eloquently, we need to all be part of the resistance. And information makes you, when you have the information, you not only become part of the resistance, you resist and take over. And I think it's about time that we take them over and throw those people running the Agenda 21. Let's put them in some FEMA camps. I say, let's get together. We'll build our own kind of camp, a re-education camp. I'm about ready to start ranting here because one thing, I just don't like being manipulated. I don't like to be stamped, never categorized, manipulated in any way, shape, or form. And that's why we try to bring you the best in guests every Saturday night. Well, there's another way that I found that you can be manipulated and you don't even know it, or it's against your will. And that is if a microchip has been illegally implanted in your brain. Next week, we're going to have Michael F. Bell on a true story of how that he was chipped against his will. And he says that it's not only happened to him, but to a lot of other people. And if I was you, I would take a look at the back of your head and look to see if there's some kind of incision in there, because you just might find a microchip. And that's maybe you have like a strange craving. Maybe all of a sudden you want to be part of Agenda 21. You say, hey, I love being green. I'm Mr. Green all of a sudden. You know, you join Obama's ranks, you know, just go green. You find yourself saying that? Who needs fluoride if you got a damn chip in your brain telling you what to do? So next week, Michael F. Bell on the Edge television broadcast. And in 2 weeks, he was rescheduled, but he will be with us. Brother Nathaniel's coming on to the program. Somebody told me to get Alex Jones on the show. Well, I never have given him an invite. Well, why not? Let's get him on the show if he'd come. I heard him talking today saying, you know what, he loves up-and-coming programs that people dispensing the truth, and seems to be a little humble about it. To say, you know, I don't want to be the leader and just do it all myself. He wants a thousand other people doing the same thing, 1,000 points of light. Well, 1,000 points to stab you and Agenda 21 right in the face. How about that? You want to join me with that? Well, you can join me every week on the Edge television broadcast. Danny Lott for the Edge. Does everybody want to say that with me, what I'm going to say next? Buzz has got it. One more time. Anybody else want to say it with me? Natalina, you got me a couple of broadcasts ago. All right. Nice, Chris. You didn't say it right. It's buh. Bye.
You've been listening to The Edge with Daniel Lott. To subscribe to The Edge newsletter, log on to theedgeam.com. That's theedgeam.com, where you can find out about our guests and topics discussed on the air. The Edge has been brought to you by EBN, the Edge Broadcasting Network, providing affordable live web streaming to the world. Visit EBN at ebnlive.net. That's ebnlive.net. Until next week, for The Edge Broadcast, I'm Chris Moore. See you on The Edge.